Before we go on in John, which will be a briefer sermon, I would like to review what I spoke on Wednesday night. Since few were able to be here and so much more could be said on that theme, and in that I feel it's a burden and a concern and a goal for us as a church, this matter of harvesters wanted. In 9:37, the Lord said to the disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few." So just a few thoughts by way of review. Number one, the harvest is plentiful. That was the setting. Number two, the supply was the workers. And number three, how to obtain the supply was verse 38, pray, beseech the Lord of the harvest to send out workers. And then fourth, the answer. They were the answer to their own prayers, at least in part, because we find in 10:5, the Lord sent them out. The Lord sent them out, the very ones who prayed. What was the setting? The harvest is plentiful. What brought that comment? In verse 35 and 36, Jesus was going through. The Lord commanded us to go, and the Lord left us an example. He was going. All the cities and villages, teaching, proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom. That word proclaiming, it's the Greek, caruso, like Robinson Crusoe, which means a public fire. The Lord did that. His preachers are still doing that. Gospel of the kingdom. There is the kingdom of God, and there's a way to get into the kingdom. And healing kind of disease and sickness. And seeing people, the Lord didn't have eyes necessarily for the scenery nor for the buildings, but he had an eye for the souls of men. Daniel prayed Wednesday night, more than trees walking. The Lord saw the souls of men. And as we go on with God, that is what the Lord trains our eye the same way. To have an eye for the souls of men, to realizing more and more the value of a soul, the preciousness of a soul. Nothing more valuable here on the face of the earth than the souls of men. And the Lord saw these words. And he had feelings. He wasn't a man of iron, he was a real man. He had feelings, he felt compassion. As I said, the Lord's attitude was not, "Well, you sinners, you've made your nest, now you live in it." No, it was an attitude of compassion for them, for others. Why? Because they were distressed and dispirited. They were more literally fainting and cast down. Fainting and cast down. Isn't that a description of a lost humanity? Fainting and cast down. Discouraged, depressed, drugs, drink, disease, deficiency, all manner of sadness. Until Jesus comes. They were like sheep without a shepherd. You've seen maybe a sheep that's cast down, a horse, a dog, a cow. It's kind of a pitiful sight, isn't it? Somehow you feel it as much as seeing a person laying in a hospital bed. I mean, this poor beast cast down, that's how the Lord saw the souls of men, like sheep without a shepherd. They say that there's 16,000 people groups in the world, and 6,000 of them are unreached. That's almost 40% are unreached with the gospel of Christ. Two-thirds of the world's population lives in Asia, and 70% of them have never heard the name of Jesus. incredible. They've never heard the name of the of their Maker, of the one who gives them breath, the one who died for sinners, for them, if they'd only believe. I read half of the world's population lives on less than $2 a day, and 30,000 a day die of starvation, and some 250 are orphaned every day. No, it's every hour because of AIDS. Cast down like sheep without a shepherd. Fears, bondages, misconceptions, lies, in need of a Savior, in need of the gospel. And that's why he said to the disciples, the harvest is plentiful. Plenteous. A great harvest. Cities that are filled with souls. Villages that are filled with souls that have never heard the name of Jesus. A harvest is plenteous and the workers are few. That situation a lot. Harvest plenteous, labor few. Little help. Often there's just as much you harvest little and workers few. But that is the way it is in the kingdom of God. Oh yes, there's a lot of preachers, a lot of workers, but not very many good ones. Paul says we are not like many peddling the word of God. And so the Lord says the workers are few. It is work. There is work involved in the business of the kingdom. It was work that the team did this past week down at Bartlesville. And the Lord didn't take the attitude of if they're going to be saved, God will get them saved, but acknowledge the instrumentality of man. That we're real in it, that God calls men to do His work, to be His workers. Paul writes to the Corinthians, he says, receive Timothy, because he's doing the work of the Lord. 2 Corinthians 6, we are workers together with God. And so the workers are few. And therefore pray. Oh, we ought to be praying. Here's a young man, Marcus, brought into the kingdom of God. Marcus, you ought to be saying, Lord, here am I, send me. Evan, here am I, send me. Tony, here am I, send me. What do you want me to do? Last night, Bob Busing came out to pick up a few melons, and we sat there on the picnic table talking, and it led into a conversation about his conversion. He was formerly, you know, the coal camp town drunk. And I didn't realize this, but he had been a churchgoer before. And God took his wife after just a short time of some kind of cancer, and he went into bitterness, and he went into drink, and just after about 10 years became a physical, mental wreck. He had a whole shoebox full of pills. Take this pill, that pill, and the other pill. He was committed to some institution and nobody could help him. And finally, in his lowest state, he said, all right, Lord, whatever you want for my life, I'll do and I'll be and I'll go. He just yielded absolute, unconditional surrender to the King of Kings, and like that light came upon him, and he was able to rise up and follow and be free. And a few months later, Steve and I met him down in coal camp handing out tracts. He was fresh out of his chains. No doubt it was a false profession before. The workers are few. Pray. that the Lord of the harvest would send out workers into his harvest. Oh, we as a church, let us enter into this burden more and more. Let's pray this way more and more. Let's think more and more, what can we do to get the gospel out, to pray them in, to preach them in, to rescue the perishing, care for the dying. You know, you could just do a study, a survey, a scan in your mind of the New Testament. Let me give you a few. Matthew 4, verse 19, I can still remember God quickening that to me about 2 or 3 years after I was converted. Matthew 4, 19, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. If you wanted to learn to fish, you know, you'd probably hang around Tom a while, or one of the men that knows how to fish. I mean, rather than just letting him tell you, you'd hang around him. You'd go fishing with him, and you'd find yourself for long becoming, as well, a fisherman. And so the Lord said, follow me, and I'll make you. And he didn't say this or that or the other. I mean, there it says, a fisher of men. We're talking about evangelism, the Great Commission. And the last words in Luke, in Mark, in Matthew are the Great Commission, so called. And near the end of John, the same thing. As the Father has sent me, so send I you. So, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore. I'll back you up. I'll make you successful. I have all authority. Go. Make disciples, not just conversion, not just professions, but making disciples, followers, learners of all the nations. Baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe whatever I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. We know from that it's not just those disciples, but it applies to us, because they didn't live to the end of the world. And so that Great Commission is forwarded by that word, all authority has been given to me. It's followed by a consoling word, I'm with you always, even to the end. What more can we ask for? That God would be with us. The Lord Jesus would be with us. How about Acts 1:8? I guess, Laquita, you put that pamphlet back there and that sermon by Spurgeon, entitled, Witnessing is Greater Than Knowing the Future. Somebody else, okay? On Acts 1:7 and 8, you know, it's not for you to know the times and the season. Don't worry about eschatology. You find somebody that says he's got it all down, fine-tuned, right down to the details, you know, something's wrong. Not for you to know the times and the seasons, which a Father's fixed in his own authority, but you shall receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be what? My witnesses. Witnessing is better than knowing the future. It's like the Lord is saying, there's the big assignment. Here's the big work. And when we go out to the job or out anywhere, may God just make it big on our minds. That witnessing, who can I talk to today? Is there anybody I can bring to Christ today? Says later in Acts, we are witnesses of these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, which God has given to those who obey Him. Just knowing that as those words come out of your mouth, the Holy Spirit is putting His stamp right on them too. Have that confidence. You're not out in left field. In Romans chapter 10, verse 17, it says, how will they hear without a preacher? Talk about instrumentality. It's like the other day Tom was looking at our planer, our joiner, whatever it's called, and he says, now they won't be able to sharpen those bits without this certain tool. And it's like, how will they hear without a preacher? How about 1 Corinthians 9? Oh, Paul says, I've made myself a slave to all men that I might be, by all means, win the more. all things to all men, that I might by all means win some. The word win comes up about six times in that passage in 1 Corinthians 9. There's nothing wrong with being a soul winner. Paul was. In 2 Corinthians 5, it says, we are ambassadors. And so we beseech you on the behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. We are ambassadors for the living God. Right. What a high calling. Especially, of course, it applied to the apostles, to Paul, but it's for all. And a lot of our message, really, in a way, our message can be summed up. Be reconciled to God. Get right with God, man. Here's how you can get right. How about in Philippians? You know, Paul, there's about seven times Paul here, he's writing to the church at Philippi, and he speaks. He says he's grateful for their fellowship in the gospel, for their participation in the gospel, he says, I'm set for the defense and confirmation of the gospel, and over these phrases for the gospel, as though that were a big thing. This church is, you know, God has worked and saved this church at Philippi, and now you're co-workers in the gospel. That is the way we ought to think of one another, co-workers in the gospel. It's not us. We're not just in this little, we don't want to be this little muscle-bound group, but we want to think of ourselves as an outreach team, trying to further the glorious gospel of the blessed God. How can we get it out? How can we help one another in getting it out? Making a dent on the campus over there at Warrensburg and so on. And how about in Jude, snatching them out of the fire? You ever seen somebody, you know, a letter falls into the fire, something falls in, they grab it out. Maybe they got singed a little bit, but they snatched it out of the fire. So for the souls of men. How about at the end of James? He says, he who turns a sinner from the error of his way saves a soul from death. The Bible speaks in that terms. A second death saves a soul from death and covers a multitude of sins. Think of the sins. Oh, I shun to say it. If Marcus hadn't have been saved, if Ben hadn't have been saved, the sins would have been stored up, piled up against the holy God of heaven. After all, it's for His glory, for His name, and shall cover a multitude of sins if a man is saved. How about Paul writing to Timothy, I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead at His appearing in His kingdom. What? Preach the word. Not pantomimes, not praise band. Preach the word. Get the word of God out there. I've got a word that's in the basket right now at the Sedalia Democrat. May God use it somehow. Let's get the Word of God out. Preach the Word. Judgment is coming. An end is coming. In view of that, preach the Word. May God raise up workers. All of us are workers. Like Paul Washer said, somebody's got to go down into the well. And who is greater, the one that goes down the rope or the one that holds the rope? They're both going to have burns on their hands. There's going to be sacrifice for both. Both are important. I think admittedly here in the context of Matthew 9 and as we see in chapter 10 following, he is talking about ministers specifically, explicitly, technically, talking about ministers of the gospel. But we're all very, and in a sense, equally important in the work of the Lord. Could we sing Rescue the Perishing, and then we'll look into John.